dindily dong, come on.
I don't believe it.
You missed that.
Miller, lovely cushion header. But Gerrard! Oh, you beauty! What a head shot! What a head!
Remember the name, Wayne Rooney.
It's Torres to get Chelsea a place in the Champions League final. The headline has been written.
Unbelievable!
Look at this, Kevin. It's a brilliant run from Messi. Can he go all the way?
They think it's all over. It is now.
All right, guys, welcome back to another podcast from Talk From The Terraces with me and Adam.
Hello.
Adam, there he is. Unfortunately, no Danny today, so we're back to the twosome.
Yes.
Whatever you want to call it. today, we're going to talk over the FA Cup and obviously the magic that has happened over the weekend. We'll talk about Sutton as well in a bit more depth later on down the line, and obviously the incidents happened with the goalkeeper today. I'll also be talking about the Champions League, so today's fixtures, tomorrow's fixtures, and we might touch on last week, we'll see, we're not sure yet. We also got Football Hero, we're back for a second chance, I guess, and then we've also got Adam's Five-A-Side. So we'll get straight into it. We'll start with the weekend's fixtures, starting with the shock of, I reckon, the last 20 years Lincoln City.
Maybe more. Yeah, like I've never heard of a non-league side getting this far in the FA Cup, and like to top it off as well, Lincoln are top of, I think, the Vanarama Conference, Premier League, whatever, I don't know. So it's a pretty good season for Lincoln City.
Yeah, I mean, I talk about Wrexham every single week, like, you swear embarrassed. I am. What happened with Wrexham a few seasons ago, where they got to the third round, and it cost them in the end in getting promotion, because obviously, I'm not sure if you know about the conference that much, but there's a lot of competitive teams in that league. And obviously there's 46 games throughout the season, so it's almost like what happens in the Premier League and the Championship, where you don't want to go, well, the teams like don't want to be going all out in the Cup, because you can get three games a week sometimes, and there's the FA Trophy as well, which I don't think they're in it anymore. I think they didn't even try in that. But obviously, going off that, what a result, you know, last winner for Sean Raggett, which I'm going to give it away as my Football Hero this week. It's an amazing story, of course it is. I mean, a bit of a scrappy goal, I mean, it's a well-taken set piece, of course it is, back post and then back to the other side. It's just like a classic goal, really, isn't it?
Someone was saying about, it was good that there was obviously goal line technology, because obviously it was at Burnley, so they've got it. But what would have happened if it was at Lincoln City's ground at Central Bank, is it? I think that's what it's called.
Right. That's it.
So, like,
bank, you know the stuff.
It's just, it's one of those, like, if it was a reverse fixture, could Lincoln have potentially had a replay instead and then gone out? I don't know. But thankfully, it was given, because it was a clear-cut goal. And
Brilliant
story for this season, absolutely magic. And even I think there was even another shock, really, and we'll obviously touch on it and later down the line. But yeah, it was brilliant result for Lincoln. I think I'd be aggrieved if I was a Burnley fan, because it was quite a good opportunity to get further in the competition. Obviously, we said this the other week, like, they were sitting like mid table and they're quite happily going to stay up, sort of thing, so it'd be quite a good thing for them to go for. And they kind of put out not a weak side, but not like their full strength
side, definitely. You know, yeah. Andre Gray up top, Joey Barton in midfield, to name a couple. I think they even had Heaton in goal as well. So it wasn't, you know, it's not a weak side by any stretch of the imagination. I mean, I think that it's obviously a huge shock, but I don't think it's as big a shock because it's Burnley. I know it sounds like harsh, but you know, at the end of the day, Burnley are a newly promoted team in the Premier League, and they haven't got the stars of, you know, obviously like Arsenal's and your Chelsea's and things like that. So I think it kind of course, it's still an amazing story and it's amazing to see, but I don't think it's, when you say, oh, it's the biggest sort of shock ever, or like the best story ever. I think the run in itself is class, isn't it? You know, getting to the quarterfinals and, you know, against Arsenal, they've got every chance. Obviously, Arsenal have been struggling as late, who obviously we'll get onto a second. But I want to put a question to you. Before kickoff on Saturday, actually no, after the game on Saturday, so they've obviously beaten Burnley and they've got the opportunity to play Sutton United at home, I believe. No, it's away, isn't it?
Yeah.
You've got Sutton United away or you've got Arsenal away. Now, the question is, would you rather play Arsenal? Obviously, the stakes of winning would be dramatically, you know, decreased. At the end of the day, it's Arsenal, and on paper, Arsenal win, right? Obviously, you never know. Or would you rather play Sutton, with obviously a much higher chance of going through, to play at Wembley? What would you rather do, based financially? So, if they play Arsenal, well, they're going to play Arsenal now. They're guaranteed to break £1 million in, you know, even in ticket gates, and then obviously the prize money and things like that, it's going to be possibly close to £2 million when it's all said and done. Would you rather that, or would you rather go an extra round and play at Wembley?
I think, personally, if I was at Lincoln, and obviously Lincoln are top of their league, I would probably think that they're going to get, like, I'd rather play at Wembley, I think. Because when are those players maybe going to get another chance to potentially do that? Kind of just think, although, but this is where I have a gripe with the FA Cup, that why do they have the semi-final at Wembley? Because then ultimately, if you get to the final, you've already had your prize by playing at Wembley. I always feel like they should go back to playing at like Old Trafford or Villa Park or somewhere else for semi-finals of the FA Cup. But if I was a Lincoln player, I'd rather go play at Wembley. But obviously, the potential of playing Arsenal is always massive as well, and playing at the Emirates would be amazing. But I think for me personally, I'd rather play at Wembley.
The reason why I asked it was because I had a conversation with my friends about it on the weekend, and we were kind of saying, you know, would you rather play Arsenal, or would you rather, you know, at the Emirates? Because obviously, at the end of the day, Emirates is it's a top class ground. It's the third or fourth best in the country, if not maybe second behind Wembley, in terms of, you know, the structure and things.
I always think though, if you got into the semi-final of the FA Cup, and then you look at the teams that are left, which are like United, Spurs, Man City potentially, Chelsea, you're going to play another big team in the semi-finals and get more money because you can have more fans in the stadium at Wembley. So it's kind of a win-win, really.
Yeah, I mean, it might be the first ever time. Well, definitely the first ever time. A non-league side playing at Wembley in FA Cup. That would be, if that happened, that is definitely a first time. I think the last non-league side to even get to the quarters was like 1915 or something. I don't even know who it was. Moving on, we'll go back to the rest of the weekend's fixtures, but first we'll talk about Sutton United and obviously their story, because it's been just as amazing in a way. The side much lower down in the table, a lot less budget. You know, the quality of players, even compared to Lincoln, are, you know, from watching both teams already this season, are, you know, much, much, not worse off, but at the end of the day, Lincoln are professional and Sutton aren't. What a story. And they had their chances yesterday.
Again, another big story for non-league football. And it just shows that the gap between the top end and the teams that are just coming through into the Football League are narrowing. I'm not sure if it's because of how life has gone. Especially I think non-league footballers back in the 80s and 90s probably smoked and drinks. Nowadays I think people are quite, they want to keep themselves fit and trim because it's part of society now, and I think that's maybe something to do with why non-league teams are getting better. They've got guys that are fitter and wanting to be fitter and play at a high level. And obviously, I think seeing people like Jamie Vardy, Charlie Austin, Chris Smalling, other people I can name off the top of my head that have made it from non-league football, I think people probably think I've still got a chance. So I think that's maybe why the gap is narrowing, and obviously that's why I think Sutton and Lincoln have done pretty well this season.
Yeah, you know, the quality of players at Sutton. I mean, there were, you know, some not quality players, of course not, but there were some solid players there. You know, Rory Deacon on the wing. You know, he didn't cause havoc as such, but you know, he was positive all game, and you know, obviously won a man of the match in the end. And even their back four, I mean, yeah, they did, you know, concede two sort of soft goals, really, in the grand scheme of things. But the first goal, you can't really do much about. It's just a wicked ball into the box, and you can't really, I mean, the goalkeeper's not really at fault. He's got to cover one side, and then it's gone in the other. It just happens, isn't it?
Yeah.
And in the second goal, I think it was probably just due to fitness, in all fairness. I think if, you know, if Sutton are a bit fitter there, I don't think that happens. And obviously with the chances that they had as well, you know, at the end, the very end of the first half, where I think, I'm not sure what his name is, I think it was May or something, had a, you know, a good opportunity. Well, not a 10 out of 10, but he could have at least hit the target. I think if he was a little bit fitter, you know, if that was early in the game or early in the second half, I think he puts that on target at least. And then a couple of chances where I think Deacon hit the bar, if that drops the underside of the post, we're talking a different story, I think.
Yeah, I think it's like what you just said, though, because Sutton are a part-time team, so I think I heard a report saying they train Tuesday and Thursdays, but then obviously their players are working. So, like, I think obviously the club are relying on the players to be going to the gym or whatever, I don't know, or doing their own fitness regimes because they're not training every week. So it's probably you're probably right in the terms of it was probably to do with their fitness, but obviously Arsenal are going to have that added quality because they are a much better side on paper.
Oh, yeah,
so,
yeah.
But I think I don't think Arsenal were that convincing from watching it. I got quite bored in the first half because it wasn't like they weren't. I don't know. It was like they weren't taking it seriously enough.
Yeah, you were. I think you like. From a neutral's perspective, you're either expecting Arsenal to be like 3 or 4 nil at half time with the game over and them looking far superior, or it being a very, very close game. And I don't think it was very close in terms of, you know, it was back and forth. I just do think Sutton did lack that little, you know, that cutting edge. And I think that's where you see the difference between the two sets of players, is that Arsenal did look professional in a way where they went about the business. When they went 1-0 up, they started to keep the ball, looked a lot more, you know, at ease in a way. And then the quality in Granit Xhaka in midfield, where he was just, like we've seen him earlier this season at Forest, he runs the show at times, just gets the ball, just passes it off, just, you know, doesn't do, you know, overdo it in a way. And then obviously up front you've got Perez, who's obviously going off in the summer because he's not getting any game time. And he looked good last night. I mean, obviously, yeah, it's against Sutton, but he looked quality. He looked as if he was a good player.
Mm.
And his stats don't lie for him this season. I think he's played 9 games and scored 6. Like, why is he not in the squad? Bit weird.
Yeah.
Going back to... going back to Sunday. Spurs easily blew past Fulham.
Harry Kane got a hat trick.
Exactly. You know, Fulham are a decent championship team, which is like, oh, God. But yeah, I didn't see the goals or anything like that. I just saw that Harry Kane got a hat-trick, and that's all I've got to say. And I don't think you've got anything to add.
Not really. The one game I did properly watch was Blackburn v United, and that was actually a really entertaining game. Blackburn really gave United a good game and took the lead through Danny Graham. But the setup from Marvin Emnes was actually sublime. Like, he picked the ball up in the number 10 and just like... he just muscled Marcus Rojo off the ball and like played a really nice reverse pass, and Graham finished off pretty well. But United were after that kind of galvanised United because they started to really get their game going. And I don't know if you saw the ball from Mkhitaryan to Rashford, but it was pretty nice.
Yeah, I think again that was the difference between the two sides. I just think that final ball and just the quality in Rashford and Ibrahimovic when he come on as well, it just really shows how good that team is this season. They were under the cosh. I mean, they were 1-0 down. You know, Rovers had the tails up. They had a couple of extra chances as well. I'm not sure who the guy was on the left wing. I can't remember his name.
Conway. Yeah, Conway.
Conway, that's one. He was a really good player. He played a very, very good, you know, 90 minutes and caused United not all sorts of trouble, but, you know, caused them some bother. And then obviously the big boys come on in Pogba and Ibrahimovic, and then literally just one pass and one touch for Ibrahimovic was all it needed in the end.
Well, that's about Ibrahimovic's goal, and I think a lot of young people could take note of this, is the ball dropped, and I think a lot of people would have saw the defender and wanted to rush the shot, and Ibrahimovic kind of just waited that little bit extra time to pick his spot and like take his time sort of thing. And it just shows like the gulf of class of striker that he is between like him and like someone in the Championship. I'm not saying like there's no disrespect to Blackburn at all, because they gave a good account of themselves, and you wouldn't have thought they were second to the bottom in the Championship and struggling, because they played a good game.
No, definitely. I was going to move on to say, like, Blackburn, you know, really looked solid. I mean, it's cliche in the Cup. It usually happens where you have a team in the lower league struggling and they're always in a relegation fight. It seems to happen every season. And Blackburn were that team this year. But, yeah, they don't look like a team that are in massive trouble. Like, let's be honest about it. They could be a League One team. Well, they are probably one of the favourites to be a League One team based on how bad they've been this year. I mean, yeah, they've beat us early in the season, and that wasn't good to watch. But they have got a couple of quality players in there, and they've got some experience as well, which I do think come the end of the season, those last sort of five or six games, I think they'll be vital.
Definitely.
What was the other game on the weekend? Because I haven't got it down here.
The big shock of Saturday results, other than Lincoln beating Burnley, was Millwall beating Leicester City.
That's the one.
1-0, and Millwall have got a nice derby game against Tottenham. That's going to be an interesting one. Well, it is, because Millwall obviously hate West Ham, but West Ham also hate Tottenham. So
yeah,
it's probably going to be a bit of a feisty one. But for Millwall, I mean, this really tops off Leicester's season, that they've got beaten 1-0 by Millwall, and Leicester obviously are playing in the Champions League soon against Sevilla, mm-hmm. I believe. And yeah. I just feel like the way it's going for Leicester, they could go out of several. Go out of the Champions League this round, because I think Sevilla are a good side.
Definitely.
It's not looking good in the Premier League. But, I mean, another good result as well, I saw on Saturday, I thought, was Huddersfield getting a replay against City. I think Huddersfield have been really impressive this season.
Yeah, they, like, again, following Forest, I've seen Huddersfield at home this season, and they dominated the ball. I didn't obviously see the game on Saturday, but, you know, they are a quality team, and that's no fluke, I don't think. To get a draw of a City and take them back to the Etihad, I do think, will Guardiola actually take the FA Cup seriously now because he's not in the title race? Or does he really go for the Champions League? Like, obviously they got the game tonight against Monaco, and in all fairness, that's a very winnable tie. They've got Falcao up top of Monaco, and I think they've got Silva, who's a pretty solid player on the wing. Jaume Moutinho, they've got some quality players, don't be wrong, but at the end of the day, it's Monaco, and I mean, yeah, they are, I think they're top of the league on, aren't they? But they should be beating those.
Well, if you're going to talk about Champions League now anyway, Monaco actually on an unbelievable run at home. I think they've lost once in the last 12 or so games, and they've won the rest, and they've been scoring a lot of goals.
Yeah.
Like, I think within this run that I saw, they'd scored 6 goals or so on 3 occasions, which was ridiculous. I think Falcao has actually rediscovered a lot of his form that he had when he was at Atletico Madrid. Which is good to see, because I've always liked Falcao as a striker. But I mean, yeah, Monaco have got a lot of good players. They've got Thomas Lemar as well, left wing or central attacking midfield as well. I think he's a very good player. He's just been linked to the Premier League, in fact. And they've obviously got other good players in their team, because they've got that far. They obviously beat Tottenham as well in their group, which is no easy game, I don't think. So I don't expect it to be a walkover for Manchester City.
Oh, not at all. I mean, you know, Monaco have done well to get to the knockout stage, so obviously they're a quality team. What I mean, though, is at the end of the day, it's Manchester City and they're at home in the first leg. I mean, they couldn't have asked for a better tie, I don't think. I mean, the only other team I could probably say is if they got City at Leicester.
Yeah, which they couldn't have, yeah. City,
but they couldn't have. And the other team may be Bayer Leverkusen, because they're, you know, not the strongest team in the draw, but I do think that's about as good as they get. We'll may as well finish off the Champions League and go back to the Championship. So, looking forward, tonight, I believe, we've got Bayer Leverkusen, Atletico Madrid. Your thoughts? I'm reckoning you're going to say Atletico very comfortably there.
I wouldn't say very comfortably. I think
over Bayern two legs, no?
I don't know, because I think... that's a tricky one there. You've said it over two legs. I think tonight they'll shore up shop, sort of thing, and I think if they nick it, they'll nick it, sort of 1-0 maybe.
Yeah, it'll be. I think tonight's game would be pretty boring. Obviously the podcast listeners, all two of them or whatever's listening. We're not going to get the podcast out in time, but under 2.5 goals is my bet in that one.
Yeah, I do like Leverkusen have got some very good players as well. But so have Atletico Madrid, and like I've said, I think Diego Simeone is a really good manager and someone that I think should be on the Arsenal wish list if when Wenger goes. And I think
Ooh, Atletico... he said when.
I think Atletico are probably one of the favourites to at least get to the semi final. I'd say.
Yeah, it's become a custom in the last 4 or 5 years. Since the old German final, they've been in a semi-final or final every year, I think.
Yeah, it's interesting with Atletico, because I think they're probably going to lose Griezmann in the next... Well, I think they'll lose him in the summer, potentially, to United. And it's just whoever they go replace him with, in my honest opinion. And that might kind of start to hinder Atletico Madrid, because I think Griezmann's a really important player for them.
Yeah, I think with Griezmann is that if they win the Champions League this season, there's no point in him leaving, because technically they're crowned as the best team in Europe. I mean, obviously they're not. I'd say Barcelona over him still, even though they're 4-0 down against PSG, and Real Madrid obviously as well. But Atletico, you know, other than United or Madrid or Barcelona or even like a Bayern Munich, he can't really go up for Atletico Madrid. They're a really, really good team, and I don't know why he'd leave. He's doing really well there. He's getting silverware most seasons, let's say. You know, they might not win anything this season, and I think, did they win the Copa del Rey last season?
I'm not sure.
Wrong there. They may have won something last season, and they've already won the league. I just don't get players' mindsets to go. Obviously, you know, Manchester United is obviously an attractive offer, but in my opinion, I'd stay athletic.
Maybe it's I think obviously some players want to play, challenge themselves in different leagues. The other one is the obvious is money.
Yeah, but for a player of that stature, I don't think money's an issue, is it? They've got the sponsorship deals. You know, he's probably got like a 5 or 6 year deal with Puma. With Atleti, he's probably on $200,000 a week as it is. So money, I don't think, would be an option there, unless he is really, really greedy. I mean, there are
all footballers are greedy.
They all want more.
But anyway, the other fixtures tomorrow are Porto against Juventus, which I think is a really kind draw for Juventus, but not a walkover. I think Porto are a decent side, and then Sevilla against Leicester.
Yeah.
And I think I can't see Leicester actually getting anything out of Sevilla. I think that tie will be over after that game.
It's good. It's an interesting one, because it's like Spurs a few seasons back, when it was like the first time they went in the Champions League with, you know, with Bale and Crouch, and I think Defoe was there. That team then, you were thinking, oh, they're going to get knocked out pretty much straight away, and then all of a sudden they surprised us all. And Leicester are doing that this season. They've done amazing to get out of the group. I mean, albeit it wasn't the hardest group to get out of. They should have got out in the top two, but you know, they've done well to do that, and who knows, they could upset everyone. Well, not everyone, Sevilla, but, you know, shock everyone, I guess. But for me, Sevilla are dark horses for this, because they've won the Europa League last three seasons in the bounce, I think. Pretty confident that that's right. and they're a very, very solid team. Like, if you look at their starting 11, there's some proper quality in that team. And this might be the season, like what happened with Atleti a few seasons back, this might be the season where Sevilla break into that, you know, elite category of a club that you'd think, wow, they're going to be dark horses for the Champions League every season. I mean, I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
I'm not sure. I always like to follow the underdog of the Champions League. I can't say I've watched it as close as I have done in recent years, since I've like really started focusing on Forest. But I don't always like Real Madrid or Bayern or Barcelona to win it, because I think it's boring. I do like seeing other teams
a winner every year.
Yeah, because I just think it adds to the excitement, isn't it? It's a bit like the FA Cup. You don't want to see the same teams in the final every year, because you know it's going to be rubbish. So I just think I'd like the underdog. I'd probably go. I think Sevilla is probably a good shout. I think Sevilla or Monaco really are a good shout. Okay. As underdogs, or even PSG have got a very good chance.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's talk about PSG. I'd say that this season is probably one of their weaker squads since they've been, you know, a prominent figure in the Champions League every season. Like I say, this season I do think this is their weakest squad, and they've just battered Barcelona 4-0. I mean, wow! Like, imagine beating a team like that 4-0. That's just crazy. It's like bonkers, isn't it? But like, if I was to throw anyone else in the works, I'd say Juve. The reason why I'd say that is because they've always got a solid back four. Dani Alves is a bit questionable, admittedly, but they've got Bonucci and they've got Chiellini with Buffon behind them. Alexandre at left back, I'm not sure if you've seen him play, but he's quality. And in midfield, they've got like Vidal, they've got Marquisio, Storaro, Asamoah. They've just got so much talent in that team. And then even up front then, they've got Dybala and Pissing Higuain. Like, how greedy can you be?
Like, I really like Dybala as well. And the most guttering thing about Dybala is he's like, he's got some Polish in him, but he's obviously opted to play for Argentina. I don't blame him. But imagine Dybala and Lewandowski up front. That would be a strike partnership, that would.
Ridiculous, that is. Well, I just looking at Juve's team and thinking, oh my god! But they're always a big team. Like, you know, let's face it. I would like, yeah, like you say, I would like to see someone else win it this year. I mean, I'm obviously a massive fan of Gareth Bale, and I'd want to see him do as well as possible in his career, because obviously bigs up Welsh football. But I mean, yeah, for me, if I was to pick anyone right now, I'd say Juve. I want Juve to win it. Anyway, yeah. Moving on. Going back to the Championship, we talked last week about the Championship, well, it might have been last week or the week before, how close it is, and all of a sudden, Norwich going to lose to Burton Albion.
Yeah, very, very shocked result, to be fair, and like, fair play to Burton, because they're obviously doing something right. Nigel Clough is obviously doing pretty well for him, and he rejected us because he said he wanted to finish the job off at Burton for this season at least before he maybe considered going to Forest if they were still interested, which could definitely be the case. Yeah. But Burton Albion could end up finishing above us. They're only 4 points behind us. We've still got to play them in a couple of weeks' time.
It's a big game, that.
It's a very big game. It's scary at the bottom of the Championship. It's just as scary as it is at the top. Oh, I think like now, because Sheffield Wednesday obviously beat us and Norwich lost, there's a gap. I think like the fight for relegation is a lot more exciting.
Yeah. As a, like, say for example you're a Sheffield Wednesday fan, you're in that sixth spot. Are you looking forwards now, or are you looking backwards, based on the position in the league?
You've got to be looking forwards, aren't you, really?
You've got to be looking forwards, of course, but I mean, would you like, I don't know, there would be an edge of panic in me just in case we go and draw a couple of games, because they very easily could have, you know, lost to us on Saturday. You know, we like I mentioned before the podcast started, if we score that penalty, and Jamie Ward doesn't hit the bar and it goes in. I mean, it's a very, obviously a very different game, and obviously in hindsight, yeah, blah blah. But you know, if Sheffield Wednesday lose that, I mean, the momentum just shifts, isn't it? Like, obviously Norwich wouldn't have counted, you know, pounced on that. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Look, I mean, we need to get the table up here.
Well, well, the thing is, I'm looking at the table now, and between like Brighton and Newcastle are 7 points clear of Huddersfield, who are in third, and then between third and sixth is only 3 points different. So they've got like a mini league between third and sixth of who's going to like kind of like kind of jolt for position sort of thing, if you know what I mean. I don't know.
Yeah.
Unless like they slip up sort of thing. I don't know if any of those teams have got to play each other. And then like, but like from like Ipswich to Blackburn is like minimal points. It's like 12 points difference. Yeah. So like that is far more exciting, even though we're involved in that and I don't want to be. That is far more exciting.
Yeah, we're worst off looking at it, and I know that's very negative, but we played 33 and all the clubs around us, obviously excluding Rotherham, because let's face it, they're down.
You know, we've got games in hand.
31. Yeah, everyone's got games in hand. You know, if Blackburn gets 6 points, they're a point behind us. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's scary, you know, to think that. And we've got some really, really tough games coming up. I mean, like you mentioned, Burton, that's going to be, that's not, I wouldn't say it's going to decide the season, but it's going to be a massive, massive turning point either way. I mean, if they beat us, then they, you know, they're looking up, you know, towards where Cardiff are in 12th. If we lose, we're looking down towards 22nd. You know, that's how close it is, like you mentioned.
Yeah.
And then obviously we've got, you know, we've got Brighton as well, who obviously, they're willing to go up in first. You know, I mean, I've said all along, I want them to win the championship, but I don't want to win that game. Like, so I do think we're in the worst trouble here. I mean, I do back us to pick up, you know, some big results, like the way we've been playing. You know, like I said, on Saturday, we could have easily won that game, but unfortunately we lost to a team who were very professional. And I do back ourselves at home against most teams in this league. You know, Brighton included, I do think we've got a chance.
Yeah, I think the lucky thing is we've got to play a lot of those teams around us, and a lot of them at home, I believe. So it's not all doom and gloom, in my honest opinion. I think it will work out. I've got to have faith, because I'm a football fan, and I think if you've not got any optimism, then you're not enjoying it. You're not in the right sport, sort of thing. So I wouldn't worry about it too much. If you deserve to finish wherever at the end of the season of where your team places, really, like there's no way around it. There's no ifs and buts. It's just how it is. And I've got faith, is all I'm going to say.
Yeah, I've got faith. I'm pretty confident. You know, there are three teams worse than us in this league, and those three teams, coincidentally, are in the bottom three. I do think we're going to a poor side, in all fairness. I mean, I hope we don't jinx it.
We play them this week, yeah.
This weekend at DW. Blackburn, who, like I said, they do look a good team, you know, especially against United. But that, obviously, the reason why they're down there is because they've just not been good enough all year. Yeah. And then, obviously, Rotherham. So, really, it's two teams out of that bottom, what, eight or nine?
Yeah, really. Crazy.
Another bonus question here for you. Say for example, one of the, we'll call it the big teams. I'm using my fingers here for like inverted commas. Say Villa, us, or Wolves go down. What is the mindset? Say for example, you're a League One team. I mean, I wasn't following Forest at the time when they were in League One. What do you do? Like, do you sell your talented players? Like, you know, Asamoah Longo, does he go? What about Brent Brereton? Do you try and cash in on him and get as much money as you can? And what about these signings that come in January? You're the manager. I'm going to give you the authority to go and do what you want with this club. What would you do?
It obviously depends what the players are wanting. If they're wanting to stay, if they want to stay and fight and get back back up or they want to go. And it depends what money you're getting offered. I would be more inclined to keep the younger players because they're going to become your core players. And I think they know then that they will definitely play because they were playing in the Championship. And yeah. I think some of them, especially like Jordan Smith, came out and said on Saturday it was his boyhood dream to play for Forest. He's been there since he was 8 years old, sort of thing. And he used to be, some of his family are Derby supporters, but he's changed alliances. It's Ben Osborne's the same. I mean, Brereton got released by Stoke and we picked him up when he was 14 or 15 years old. And he's probably thinking, I kind of owe this club a lot. And he's still only young. I would be inclined to keep more of the younger players. And if some of the other players like Osombolonga and that want to leave, then you get as much money as you can for them. Obviously, their value will drop. But then I think you build around those younger players, in my honest opinion. I think with Villa, if they went down, it'd be a catastrophe because they've bought so many players, many high-profile players as well, like Lansbury and that. That none of them would want to play in League One. No chance.
No,
they would lose majority. I think they would lose at least 95% of those players they've got in.
They wouldn't have a squad going into League One. Definitely.
No, literally, they'd be in a worse state than they were when they were in the Premier League.
Yeah, even like players like Jack Grealish, I think, would want to go. Because, you know, in all fairness, he's a talented lad. And then you've got players like, you know, is Gary Gardner really one of, like, I'm just saying Gary Gardner because he played for us, but like Gary Gardner, even like a squad player, would he want to play in League One? Probably not. And then you like kind of look through the players, Horahan, that they just spent mega bucks for, Lansbury, got Hogan at top,
Codger, McCormack still.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, isn't it? They've got their team in there on the same points as us. I mean, they've got a game less, but what has happened to them? Like losing 2-0 to Newcastle yesterday, obviously that's not a shock because Newcastle are top. But what has happened to them since they've lost to us? I mean, we must be amazing.
But Wolves are kind of in a similar situation though as well, because they spent a lot of money in a very short space of time. If I remember at the start of the season, obviously spent what, 12 million on Helder Costa in January.
Yeah,
and actually,
15 million. He's a good player.
Yeah, he's a very good player. He's way too good for this league. Maybe way too good for Wolves, especially at least. He's probably a top half player, if not a top six player in the Championship and a lower half Premier League player at the moment, and he could definitely improve. But I'm surprised by Wolves because I didn't think Wolves were that bad against us. I think we made them look better than they were. But I'm quite surprised of their position. But I think they've probably got a chairman who is, I think he could be a little trigger happy in some respects, but
yeah,
I felt sorry for, I think it was Walter Zenger who was their manager at the start of the season. I think he got employed like a day before the start of the season, which was stupid. And yeah, I kind of think maybe if Wolves get through this season and Paul Lambert gets like a full pre-season, then they'll probably be back knocking on the door at the top end of the league next season. But I can't see us, Wolves or Villa going down.
What's your prediction right now? I mean, I've already said I think the bottom three, that it stays as it is. I mean, obviously every week it changes, but I do think that bottom three there are the teams that are going to go down this season. I mean, what do you think? Do you think Bristol City slip in there? What are your thoughts?
It's a tough one. Who's
most likely to get out?
Probably Wigan somehow. Just because they've signed Omar Bogle and he seems to have started off pretty well. But that's probably about it. I mean, I think Wigan score goals at least. I mean, they won at the weekend. They beat Wolves. So I think they're probably in the best form out of the bottom three. So I think I could see Wigan getting out. And I think Burton or Bristol, but Burton obviously on the up slightly. But I think Bristol seem to be plummeting a lot.
Since the start of the season, they've been on 3-4. They can't seem to buy a win.
No.
So, yeah, I think it'll stay as it is, but if there's a team to fall in there, it's going to be Bristol. For me, for a team to come out, I'd probably say Blackburn, because it's just the size of the club. I mean, obviously, you can't rest on that, but I do think they'll somehow pull out. Anyway, we should have talked about this before, Sutton United's Wayne Shaw, the reserve goalkeeper, i.e. roly-poly, has left the club today, he's resigned as a reserve goalkeeper because he's under investigation for breaching betting rules. I'll read the statement before I get your thoughts. So, the Gambling Commission and Football Association are investigating if there was a breach in betting regulations after the 46-year-old ate a pie during the game. I can't believe that. A bookmaker had offered odds at 8-1 if he was to eat a pie on camera. And I believe he's gone on to say that he said he was aware of the betting promotion prior to the match and played the incident. So obviously there's a he said he did it as a bit of fun, but obviously that is, in my opinion, like breaking the rules. But in all fairness, he's 46, so it's not going to affect him, is it? What are your thoughts on it? Do you think it's just a bit of a laugh? What happens? Go on.
Well, he came out and his excuse was that Sutton had made all three substitutions and he wasn't going to get on, and I think he just kind of did it for a laugh. But I think it's a cover up for this betting thing. But 8-1 is like really shit odds.
It is.
I kind of find it. I find it quite funny though. I just like, yeah, what a lad. Because like, imagine if he actually had to play against Arsenal. That would have been absolutely brilliant. Like, I don't. I just can't help but laugh.
I can't believe he's actually a reserve goalkeeper. Like, there's so many talented like young lads out there who are dying for a chance to be even like a reserve goalkeeper, just a backup goalkeeper. I mean, there's so many goalkeepers out there. Like, why is he their second choice goalkeeper? How rare is that? Like, the guy's 20 stone. He's massively overweight. If he dived, it would create a crater. Do you know what I mean? Like, he is huge. So how is he the second choice goalkeeper?
I'm not sure if it's because like he was like goalkeeper coach as well, and maybe they thought, oh well, it's cheaper to keep him on as like a player coach role rather than get another goalkeeper in. Yeah. Maybe I don't know, but I just find it
even
really
then,
funny.
Just shook him, like if you wanted to save costs and just get a younger lad in, keep him as the backup goalkeeper, and then just have the young lad as a pay as you play sort of thing. And if obviously he plays, then well, fine, pay him the extra cash, but. Yeah, anyway, this is just a bit of a rare one, isn't it? 8-1, though, that's poor. I mean, it's probably the first time that's ever happened, let's be real. Especially in the modern era, since, like, you know, healthy eating and things is coming into the sport. 8-1 to eat a pie during the game. I mean, yeah, all right.
Like, did you see, I know this is a bit off topic, but did you see, I think it was, like, Barrow or Corby or someone like that, where they scored a goal and celebrated in the corner and one of the players Corby drank down, a pint?
Yeah, he tweeted out after it, saying, like, I don't recommend doing it, but he said it was a bit of a laugh, but he had a bit of a stitch after. I was like, oh my God, this is, like, quality stuff.
Like, I just thought it was funny. Like,
it's hilarious. Like, wow, what?
I think non-league football needs to get on telly a lot more, because I think more funny things would happen.
Oh, you don't want to see the quality, though. Like, you'd be pulling your eyes out, like, watching... blown on National League. National League's okay. I mean, you can bear with it. Even like Welsh Prem, you can deal with it. It's not a bad standard, but below that is pretty dreadful. I mean, but yeah, I mean, if you want to see someone drink a pint at half time, then yeah, let's go for it. I mean, it's quality. Yeah, we covered that. That's all the weekend. Champions League and everything done with. I'll quickly touch over my football hero because I've already said who it was. So obviously, going back to it, Sean Raggett, who scored the last minute winner to send Lincoln through to play Arsenal for a chance to play at Wembley in a semi-final. What a story. You've got your five-a-side. So we're literally going to call it five-a-side.
Yes.
So this week on five-a-side, what have we got?
So this would be five people that you'd have at your come down with me party. This could be, you could have anyone. You could have ex-footballers, present footballers, people that have obviously passed away, unfortunately. For any five players that you'd want to have at your dinner party, and why?
Okay, can we involve managers?
Yes, because okay, the majority of them used to play. So,
yeah, all right, fine. First of all, I'm going to go with Arsene Wenger. The reason why is because he was the guy, pretty much, you know, not single-handedly. I mean, there were a couple of other managers at the time, but he was the guy who really, really brought the modern era of sport into it. You know, with his healthy eating and sticking to diets and all that. And I reckon he's just really, really good for food. And obviously, he's French, so he's accustomed to a red, you know, a couple of red wines here and there, of course. And he's just a classy dude, isn't he? I mean, all right, yeah, he's like 135, but he, like, at the end of the day, he's a legend. I'd have him as the, you know, he'd be at the head of the table. Well, actually, no, I'd be at the head of the table. He'd be just to my left. Like, what a sir. Moving on. Who else would I have? Oh, my God, this is such a tough question. I've got four more players here. I'd have Eric Cantona as that second French dude. Just have a, I'm just going to have five French players. I'd have Eric Cantona just because he's got bants about it. He's just, what a quality, like, I don't know, just the personality he's got. Like, he's just awesome, isn't he? Like, what he did in the 90s, how good he was. I'd have him there, again, a couple of glasses of wine. He'd even throw a few bottles in, maybe. He'd just come along, wouldn't he? Just, just free wine, yeah. Have that. All right, cheers, Eric. Lovely. First player, I'd have Lofa Matthäus. I don't know why. The reason I'd have Lofa Matthäus is because he is one of my idols. Not idols, but one player I kind of really, really studied. And just how good he was. And also, bit of a side note, I play FIFA, and I play FIFA Ultimate Team. He is quality on the game. He's down as a legend. He's 91 overall, mate. He's a good player, seriously. I'd be talking to him about the goals I've scored with him on FIFA. I'd just be like, yeah, this is what I've done with you. I'd even, like, you know, you can save him on the Xbox. I'd, like, show him some clips. I'd be like, oh, just come through to my front room. I'll just show you the bangers I've scored with him, mate. Enough to post and everything. What the fuck is this? And then I'd have the final two. I'd have Gary Neville and I'd have Jamie Carragher.
Fair enough.
Just for the banter they have between them two, the arguments that they have in a good way, and just it would be a nice split of personalities. You've got an engineer in the German. You've got a couple of French dudes who are really like slow paced. Ooh yeah, like a couple of Reds, right? And you've just got a Scouser and a Manc. Like, wow, how good would that be? The only thing you're missing is a Cockney dude.
Yeah, you need like Redknapp or someone like that or something. I don't know. Or a Lampard.
If I was to for a Cockney, it'd probably be like Jamie Redknapp, and I'd have to have a couple of extra invitations. You know, just a couple of subs. I'd have Robbie Savage and Freddie Flintoff. Just because I like them. I think they're quality.
Freddie Flintoff, not a footballer, though.
No, but I said, a substitution. He doesn't have to be on the pitch, does he?
Right.
Cheated that.
Mine is more about fun. I'm not saying you're not going to have fun, because you've got Carragher and Neville there, so that would be hilarious.
Right.
But I'm going to have, like, the first person that I would have is Chris Kamara.
Yeah.
That, like, you don't even need to, like, ask me why.
One,
Jimmy Bullard.
What a man. Jimmy Bullard, wow.
So, absolute banter.
I missed that, yeah.
Jimmy Bullard, Chris Kamara, right? God. And then this is all right. I think this is a good one. Paul Gascoigne, for his stories. He'll turn up pissed. You'd ask him to bring all the beer, but it'd be gone before it got to you. So,
come on, mate, you couldn't trust him in a spa, could you?
So you got Bullard, Kamara, Gazza, and then I think I'd have to, like, I think the next one would have to be someone, like, just a little bit different. So I think I'd probably go for, like, Thierry Henry, just because, like, he's so smooth, isn't he? He's just a cool guy. I think he'd end up just, like, kind of not know what he's doing there with Bullard, Kamara and Gazza, just, like, bouncing off the wall sort of thing.
Exactly, you say this. You've always got to have that French dude in there. He's just kind
of, like,
relaxed.
I just think Thierry Henry is such a good player, and I think just, like, talking to him about actual football would be amazing. And obviously Paul Gascoigne was brilliant. And obviously finishing football ruined him more than anything. But he just sounds like some of the things that I've heard him come out with, like story wise, just sounds like absolute, like, just nonsense basically.
Clarity.
Yeah, just absolutely brilliant. And then I think the last person, and it's probably quite cliche, and it would probably have to be Brian Clough. Because why would you not want to hear like his nuances, and if any of these stories that get told about him are true? Like the one that Dean Saunders told on Radio 5 or whatever it was, on yeah, 5
apparently
Live.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, apparently it's a lot of it's like a bit far-fetched and exaggerated.
But if that's true, then that's the greatest story I've ever heard. It is absolutely amazing, that. I mean, I can actually see it in the personality that Clough was. But at the same time, do I really believe that he was smashed trying to sign probably one of the best strikers at the time?
No, probably not.
You know, he was probably very, you know, Stone Cold Sober was in a suit rather than in his green jumper. Come on, you know.
But yeah, that's my five-a-side for this week.
I think, in all fairness, I think yours wins, but I'm just going to say you had more time. But no, like, I think both teams would be pretty good. Who would win in an actual game?
Who did you have? Lofa Mateus, Cantona. Wenger would be your weak point. I think he played semi-professional football, didn't he?
You've seen him play sometimes, like, you know, in training, like have a bit of.
And he's a dinosaur, so you know.
Yeah, I'm pretty much just 4v5, isn't it?
It is. You'd put Wenger in goal or something, just like that kid.
Christ, you could hit him. You'd break him in half. So brittle. We covered everything. Is that it?
It is, I think. Done.
What the hell?
It's a bit quick one this week.
Bit of a quick one, yeah. But I think that's pretty. It's pretty good, especially our five side. I'm loving this five side. It's great.
It's hard to. I'm having to like write down things so I know that I've got topics.
Yeah, that's right. You have to like write like 6 weeks in advance because we're not going anywhere. But we need a sponsor or something. Like we need help.
We need help. We just need general help.
Yeah. Obviously, if you've got this far, which it'll be a shame if you haven't, because, well, wow. Well, you wouldn't be listening to this, would you? but if you've obviously enjoyed this week's podcast, it is going to be going up a little bit later. Probably, as you know, as we're talking now, it's Tuesday night, so it's probably going to be Wednesday now. If you've enjoyed it, then obviously give us a. I don't even know what it is on iTunes still. Leave us a rating, you know, and still after those ratings, we've only got one or. No, we've got two, I think, now, which is, you know, we're getting there. Leave us a 5-star. Come on, be nice. and also. Share it, you know, on your Twitter, on your Facebook, if you can. It'd be greatly appreciated. And also, shout out to Adam's YouTube channel as well. If you've not already listened or seen it or even subscribed to it, then, well, you're missing out because it's quality. But that's all. No worries. Yeah, in all fairness, probably all four of our listeners come from it anyway. But, you know, but yeah, thanks very much for listening. And we shall see you next week.
Goodbye.